Hello and welcome to another episode of Fourth and Wine. And here we are after week 11. The Eagles had played the Commanders just last night. Short week, but we'll talk a little bit about the game. I'm going to talk about another wine that I'm trying out. But keep listening. You're checking out Fourth and Wine. All right. So let's start off with this wine. I'm gonna make this quick. This is gonna be a quick show, okay? Because I got things to do. But anyway, let's talk about this wine really quick. It is a Petnat Blanc. It is from 2022 from Mural City Cellars, which is a place that I love. I joined their wine club. You guys already know if you listened to my episode a few weeks ago, you know I like this place. It's good vibes, good wine. And they also hold like different classes and you could do a tour of the winery. It's just really nice. But anyway, it is a Petnat Blanc. I already poured up a glass and I had a little sip already. But I'm going to review it and share with you guys what I think. So the wine is a wheat color and there are a ton of bubbles in this wine. The Petnat Blancs are sparkling wines. This is a sparkling wine. So there's a ton of bubbles. Wheat color, golden, yellow. And let's smell it. Bro, this wine smells like apples. Like straight apples. Smells really nice though. Smells like cider a little bit. But let's taste it. Whoa. The bottle does say that this wine is tart, zippy, electric, and it has green apple in it. It also lists a few other things, but you can definitely taste the green apple. You know how you take a bite of a green, like a fresh green apple. It's crisp, it's good, but also it has like that little bit of tartness to it. That's exactly what this wine has. But it's made with grapes, guys. Grapes. But it's amazing. Honestly, no one's paying me to say this, but I'm giving it a 4.5 out of 5. And the only reason I'm saying this is, one, I love their wines. So maybe I'm biased. Like, don't ask my opinion on Mural City Cellars because I love that place. But genuinely, it is a really good wine. You could sip this like chilling. Like, I'd say you could just have this alone. If you just want to have a little glass while you watch TV, do this. Get this Petnat Blanc 2022. But I'm saying maybe a 4.5 because I'll also say sparkling wines don't always do it for me. And that's just a personal preference because of my indigestion. You know, I got the indigestion. Because of my indigestion, sometimes sparkly and bubbly wines don't always sit well with me. Doesn't matter who makes the wine. But this one is really good. Child, by the time this podcast is over, it might be a little wavy because usually I just sip, drink, try it. But I'm pulling up. You know, it's Victory Friday. It's Friday, y'all. Have a sip. Have a drink. Kick back. Do your thing. Anyway, let's get going. Let's talk about the Eagles. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, hopefully. And I'm just winging it today, okay? I'm winging it. I was super excited. I'm like, I got to get on. I got to get this done because I got a lot to say. So, bear with me. Last night's game at the Link against the Commanders, going in, if you listen to Sasha's Quick Slants at For the Bird Sports on Instagram. See, this is another reason I don't like the bubbly ones because my chest is hurting, but I can't stop drinking it. Anyway, If you listen to my quick slants, you know that I said a few things. I said, we got to lock down their receivers. And Nick Sirianni would need to be aggressive. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But last night, there was a lot going on with that game. The Commanders came to the link. And this was Zach Ertz. So if anyone knows who Zach Ertz is, the Eagles' former tight end. And, oh, drop the mic. Eagles' former tight end and beloved Eagle in Philadelphia, Super Bowl champion. It was his first time coming to the link as an opponent. So there's no hard feelings. Appreciated Zach Ertz for sure. But glad we got the win yesterday. Okay. Jahan Dotson, who we signed in the offseason. Shout out to Howie, who's our number three receiver. Coming from the Commanders. So this was his first time playing his former team. Brian Johnson, our ex-former offensive coordinator from last year, the man that everyone wanted to fire when we wasn't running the ball. Y'all remember that? Fire Brian Johnson. Y'all remember all those things from last season? I know. Y'all probably forgot. Y'all probably forgot about all that. But anyway, it was the return of him to the link. He is now like the offensive assistant coordinator or something like that for the Commanders. And I'm really sorry for butchering his name, but I'm pretty sure it's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus came home and played his former team. If anyone remembers, he used to play for the Eagles last year. So really, it was a lot of tea last night. So ladies, if you don't even want to watch football, watch it for the tea. The men always got the tea. They act like they don't have the tea, but they definitely do. You know, they be sipping. It be drama sometimes in the NFL. But as well as Vinnie Curry retiring as a Philadelphia Eagle last night. So shout out to him. I've always followed him. So big congrats to him. It's really exciting to see. And I listen to him every now and again on the PHLY podcast. So good for him that he got to retire here as an Eagle, Super Bowl champion. Shout out to Mr. Curry. Now, to talk a little bit about the game. Now, Jahan Dotson opened up the game with an opening play for 8 yards. You know, you got to get him involved. You got to let him get his stuff off. So I appreciated that, you know, the Eagles getting him out there, getting him involved in the game since, you know, this was his former team. You know, and we gave the Commanders, defense came out like gunning. They came out strong. We gave the Commanders their first few 3 and outs on their opening drive of the game. Most teams have not been able to do that. So that's a testament to the Commander offense. But the Commanders, they were working in the beginning, you know, making good of the opportunities that they were given. You know, they were getting some good stops. They were taking advantage of certain things in the beginning, but then it kind of slowed down for the Commanders once we came alive. And I will say, once the offense started getting rolling, which took 2 quarters, like the game last night was so slow. If you watch the game, it was like flat out, it was boring. Like, no shade. It was definitely boring. But once offense came alive, it was exciting to watch. So Jalen Hurts had a 64% completion rate. We had 40 rushing attempts. We ran the ball down their throats. We went 1 for 3 in the red zone, which was suckish. So we made it down the field 3 times and only were able to convert once, which is crazy to happen against the Commanders. The Commanders have struggled all season in the red zone, like ranked one of the bottom of the bottom teams in the league when it comes to red zone offense. And we just could not get it done getting down the field. And I will attribute that to play calling and Jalen Hurts. Yes. So anyway, Jalen Hurts. I'm always going to talk about Jalen Hurts. He's the number one quarterback. So I'm going to talk about him a little bit. Jalen Hurts, your stats are good, brother. They are good. You know, that paperwork, a vouch for him. If you read his stats and look at the overall picture of Jalen Hurts this season, especially after the bye, he's had over 2,100 yards. He only has had 5 interceptions. And if you watch the games, most of those interceptions came from the first portion of the season before the bye. So it's good to watch and see how he has turned things around. And if you check his QBR, his quarterback rating, he's 8th in the league. 8th in the league. So, like, the paperwork is good, and he's in the MVP talks. I don't think he will win MVP, but his name is being mentioned for another year in a row because he's a part of a winning team, and the guy's athletic. So last night, he didn't have the best QBR. He had a 44 QBR, and let me look up what Jaden Daniels' QBR was. I think it was like 22, somewhere around there. Yep, 22.1. So last night was like, who's the better of the worst QBs? Because both quarterbacks struggled. Y'all are going to hear my dog barking in the background, and that's fine. But watching Jalen Hurts is difficult to do. Because a lot of the time it can be inconsistent, very nerve-wracking. Because, and this is truly just my assumption, I don't think Jalen Hurts can't do it. I don't think he's confident enough in himself, or his coaches aren't confident enough in him when it comes to passing the ball. It just seems like he doesn't trust himself fully or his receivers. And I said this on my last podcast, but something looks uncomfortable there. He missed Devontae Smith wide open on a cross route, which seems to be the name of the game for Jalen, missing a lot of his open receivers when that opportunity presents itself. It seems as if Jalen is waiting for the full moment his receivers become open, because he is afraid of risking a turnover or interception rather than trusting that his receivers are going to get where they need to be. However, we could say what we want about Jalen Hurts and how his play has looked and how, you know, he might be missing open receivers, but the team has been winning. It's their 6th straight win. And Jalen also is very athletic. He can use his legs. And I don't see anything wrong with that. In the sense of that is a facet of who he is. And I think that that is okay. Because that's a facet of who Lamar Jackson is. Not saying that Lamar Jackson can't pass the ball. I'm just saying that he's athletic, using his legs. And we've learned to accept that. And he's won MVP twice. So, however he gets it done, he gets it done. Yeah. So, I won't say that I don't think Jalen can pass the ball, because we've seen glimpses of it over the last few weeks, especially after the bye. But a lot of moments, we do find him struggling to move through the progressions quickly enough. Like his reaction to open receivers, who's open, is slow. And there's a lot of things that can factor into that. It could be the play call, but also, and it could be the receivers. Maybe the receivers just aren't getting open. But when you have receivers like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, especially Devontae, who's like shifty and quick, those guys are getting open. A lot of things can go into play for reasons that Jalen is struggling with this, struggling to find the open receiver, struggling to move through the progressions. But the first person I am going to put the blame on, which sounds harsh, will be Jalen Hurts. Because he can control what he can control. You can't control the play calls. You can't control whether the receivers get open or what the coverage looks like, but control what you can. Now, Coach Sirianni, he definitely has been less aggressive over the last 2 games, and this is what everyone wanted. Now, but this week, I said, yo, you got to be aggressive. When we get in the red zone, be aggressive, because this team hasn't been able to stop teams in the red zone. And, you know, I guess after watching yesterday and watching Jake Elliott miss a few field goals and an extra point, maybe this is why Nick Sirianni wasn't as aggressive. And I think this is now going to be the narrative, which is funny, because the narrative is going to be, well, Nick Sirianni hasn't been aggressive because Jake Elliott just hasn't been good. He hasn't been performing. I'm not going to jump to that conclusion just yet, but I'm going to spin a block if I need to in the next few weeks on that. But with kickers, that's all they do. All you do is kick. Like, and Jake, this is not you. So I'm surprised that last night he missed two field goals. He missed an extra point. It just seemed like it was a struggle of a night for him. But everyone is entitled to a bad night. You won't always be on and you won't always be perfect. So I will say that maybe yesterday night was just a bad night for Jake. So I will not be jumping to any conclusions about Jake Elliott not being good, because I have for years seen the opposite of that. So we will move on. Now, y'all know who I'm going to talk about next. The man, the myth, the legend, the future Hall of Famer, Saquon Barkley. Wow, that wine went down the wrong pipe. But I will not get tired of saying how amazing Saquon Barkley is. I, in the offseason, didn't think we had a real need for a running back. I thought our running backs were serviceable, but I failed to acknowledge the need for a running back like Saquon Barkley. He had 26 carries yesterday, 146 yards, and two touchdowns. There is no way any running back, any group of running backs you could ever have will ever be Saquon Barkley. I'm not taking anything away from Derrick Henry, because he's amazing as well. But my God, Saquon. Saquad. He's amazing. And this offense runs through Saquon. So I'm hoping and praying for a healthy season for him. The Giants, y'all really messed up with that one. And that's crazy. And the crazier part is that y'all videotaped it and did Hard Knocks off season and then let Hard Knocks air the episode of your phone conversation with Saquon. Like, y'all look crazy. Y'all look crazy. There's no other way to put it. I'm pretty sure the Giants GM will no longer have a job after that Hard Knocks episode next year, and losing Saquon Barkley. If the owner has any sense at all, he won't be there next year. Now, for the hero of the game. This is something new. I'm not even calling this a segment, but I'm going to call this. Maybe I'll start doing this. The hero of the game was Grant Calcaterra. Child, Dallas Goedert with the fumble is crazy. But Grant Calcaterra with the recovery was one of the biggest moments. Because if we lost that, Martin actually punched the football out of Dallas Goedert's arm, which was a great play by the defender. But if we lost that fumble, the game could have turned out very differently. So, shout out to Grant. Thank you very much, sir. Now, moving on to the defense. The consistency I've been seeing from the defense over the last few weeks is remarkable. I'm loving it. Kudos to them. Kudos to Vic Fangio for turning this defense around. There's no way you go from being bottom defense last season to top defense in the league right now. It is crazy. And that is all thanks to Zach Bond, who I had never heard of before this year. Zach Bond yesterday. Let's look at his stats. Zach Bond yesterday. Y'all done lost the stat list. Oh, here we go. Zach Bond with 15 tackles, one pass defended, 9 solo tackles. He is everywhere and nowhere at all. He is... he's the faceless man from Game of Thrones. I don't know. That guy is amazing. He smoked. And you know who else smoked? Smoke might be a bad word. It sounds like smoking. But you know who else had a great game? Quinyon Mitchell. And you know why it was great? Because they ain't want to test him at all. Quinyon is a rookie. We're talking about a rookie that we are in awe of right now. This has got to be unheard of. A rookie corner coming into the league. And if you watch my quick slants yet again at For the Bird Sports, I said that we needed to watch out for Scary Terry and we needed to make sure we locked down their receivers. And boy, did that man lock down Terry McLaurin. They didn't even get Terry McLaurin involved. Going into the half, I didn't even know he was out on the field playing. They didn't even look in his direction, knowing that Q was guarding him. Q put the fear of God in that Commanders team. And it is amazing to see. So shout out to him and his hard work. But I think what helps him is being in practice with guys like AJ Brown, guys like Devontae Smith. Like having two number one wide receivers on the opposite end of you, that's going to give you something. Give you something to work for and teach you how to really play and how to really cover. And I said that we would have to lock down their receivers. I said, if that's your man, you stick beside him, and sure enough, Q did. Another big play from the game yesterday was Reed Blankenship with that interception. That man is a stud. A few years ago, I'm pretty sure Philadelphia fans, and all of us included, me included, could have cared less if Reed Blankenship came back. But watching him over the last two seasons, the growth, the fierceness, I'm loving it. Shout out to Blankenship. That boy has been playing his butt off. And I love the amount of fun that this defense has been having. Last season, watching our team not have fun, even after winning, like we were 10-1. And the team wasn't having fun. The team didn't seem energized because they saw how those wins were going. Jake the Make Elliott was winning games for us for the first couple weeks. But seeing them have fun this year, seeing them win is really nice. I mean, I'm not going to say I wonder how they'll do in adversity because I would appreciate no adversities coming the Eagles' way. I want us to dominate and kill everything in front of us. But I'm sure adversity will come, so I'm interested to see how they handle it. But if they are having fun this way now, they are really creating this bond, especially on defense together, there is no way they can't overcome adversity together. And that sounds like a motivational post-it note or something, but I truly do mean that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the next week. So next week we are playing the Rams at LA. So it should be a really good game. The Rams, however, are wildly inconsistent. I'm pretty sure the Eagles are favored. I haven't actually looked at like any betting stats, but I'm sure the Eagles are favored to win next week, which rightfully so. But the Rams have been inconsistent. They just lost to the Dolphins, which is with Tua just coming back, with it being like his second week back, I believe. And you know, the Rams, they're a wild card. And I think that's what makes me nervous about playing them next week, especially in their home. Oh, Eagles fans going to travel for sure to LA. Eagles fans will be there. But I feel like the Rams can be a wild card because you don't know what to expect. They beat the Vikings. They were the Vikings' first loss of the season. So they got something. It's just, when does it turn on and when does it turn off? I don't know. But I guess we shall see. We also, in the stretch, got the Ravens, which I'm a little nervous to play the Ravens. But the Ravens surprise you sometimes, too, and they don't get it done. I mean, it's the matter of who's going to have the good day. And I hope the Eagles have the good days the next few weeks, all the time. I hope our days are always good. But the Eagles are now number one in the NFC East. We were number one last week, but for sure it has been solidified because we beat a divisional opponent in the Washington Commanders. Shout out to that W. It's exciting. The Cowboys, they are done. The Giants are always done. They've been done for the last few seasons. Get rid of your GM. You get rid of your quarterback. But I'm going to mind my business because I ain't a Giants fan. But it is good to see the Eagles take over the NFC East when a few weeks ago, coming out of the bye, people had us at a 27% chance of making the playoffs. They had the Commanders dominating and winning. They even had the Cowboys ahead of us. My, look how the times have changed. Look how the tables have turned. And I'm hype. I am hype. Okay, I cannot wait. We have what we call a mini bye next week. So since we played these two games, and we started off week 11 this Thursday, we're off Sunday, we're off Monday. We don't have to play those games. We're not playing those 2 days. So that's nice. We have a full 7 days to kind of heal. Whoever's banged up, heal. Get the rest you need. Landon Dickerson, I hope he's okay. I hope he's able to nurse with his injury and, you know, get the rehabilitation that he needs so we can come out hot and running when it's time to go to LA and dominate. So I'm excited for the next few weeks. I'm excited for this stretch for the Eagles. I'm excited for us to make a playoff run. Go get this wine, this electric bubbly, this Petnat Blanc, which I believe you can get at Richmond IGA on Aramingo. I don't know if they sell this brand, but I know this winery is in Richmond IGA. They sell local items. And also, you could just go to Urban Winery on Frankfort Avenue and grab this wine. But it's delicious. It's delicious, y'all. I can't stop drinking it. But I told y'all by the end of this, you know, I was winging this whole podcast. I had a couple notes down, but I was winging most of it. I told you I might be a little wavy. I'm not there, but this wine is delicious, guys. It's delicious. So try it out. Keep listening. Tell your friends to listen. Tell your friends to tune in. If they want to hear anything about the Eagles and they want a little taste of wine, they need some wine culture in their life, and they want just real perspective. Ladies, tune in, tap in. Thank you again. I'm out. Peace.